owner, then tell us what's new in city rates.
Thank you very much. So, hi everyone. My name is Dan. I'm here to talk to you about something which becomes more and more boring these days, just another attempt at fraud prevention, but I'm sure it will not be your case because your network is secure. So it's just, I heard it happened to someone else. Nothing to have panic about. About our company, we'll skip again because by now everybody should know that we are the smartest, producing the most stable software, you know, so I have to skip ahead because of the timing. I want to talk about CG Rates. What is CG Rates? It's a enterprise billing suite. We call it like that. In the end, it's a framework. It started as a online charging system, an OCS, what people are calling in telecom. And it evolved towards a framework of different services, and they are all related. So it's not that we are keep putting functionality inside because we don't know what to do in our spare time. It's because the things are asking for each other. It's all open source, born in 2010, published in 2012, all full sources are available on GitHub, 100% Go. So imagine in 2010 when we started, Go was kind of weekly release. So we might be the oldest Golang developers you know. no add-ons in private repositories, and by now we have more than 400,000 lines of code, which in Go, which being a compact language, it's quite some functionality there. And we do have consideration for community contributions. We support actively three branches, which became like three versions of software nowadays. It's performance oriented because we started as an OCS, and it has a modular architecture, so you can take components out, put your own, should you want to avoid the licensing problems. It's test-driven development software, so we like to write tests before or right after we have done the functionality. What can you do with it? Online charging system, it's the classic thing we started with. You have there a lot of things like complex rating, bundles for online. It works in mobile networks. We also work in tier one MNOs. High number of interfaces in and out, so you can integrate it with quite some number of appliances there. Then it can work as a routing server, popular LCR systems, you know, in with soft switches. Then what I'm also about to talk about is fraud mitigation server. You have built-in mechanisms and components which are focusing on detecting fraud in your network. It's that kind of fraud related to billing stuff. So we don't go into sniffing your network for IP packets. We focus on what it comes out of your real-time events or what it comes out of CDRs. Statistics server, again, important. It has a lot of appliances in marketing, in routing also, in observability of your network. So we provide that kind of component as well. Resource utilization control server, so you can have virtual channels since there are no physical channels anymore. Mediation server, if you have to enhance your CDRs and modify their content, or billing assurance, which is again popular. You can do parallel billing to what you have today or put a server there which is sniffing. This is the kind of network sniffer, producing CDRs and checking in real time with what you have already. If you have doubts, if your billing system works accurate, you can add this in parallel and have the functionality. Today I did a sort of, this is the only nice looking slide I have, because you know, as billing system we are working somewhere in your basement. Nobody sees it, it's there and nobody wants to touch it. So this is kind of best I could give out of myself. You can see on the left side here, communication devices doing their things, making use of your resources and producing, whether real-time or CDRs, sending them to us, to our components, which we call sessions and CDRs. Then these sessions, by processing them, will push them into another subsystem named STATS. STATS are built again in real time, but as they are, their nature is to be like only instant. So they are not available if you want to query them. What were my stats 10 minutes ago? You cannot, because stats are always real time. Our all components, they work in memory. So because of the speed we have to do, everything is in memory. There is no select from MySQL where average call duration or answer time was this and stuff like that. No, because that one will be slow. It's not the target we are doing. Just for your information, we are doing about 7,000 requests per second per unit. So, and our RPC goes up to 25,000 requests per second. So we are really targeting high speeds. And this stats being in the memory, we need to somehow archive them and also make use of the logic behind them. So this is why we wrote a new subsystem, which is Trends. We just pushed it like a few months ago. This is the first conference where we talk about it. And this Trends will regularly query stats. It's very similar to the approach of Prometheus, for example, and archive these stats in a timely manner, so in sort of time-based database. It's again all in memory. And then these trends can push information outside, and that will be to our thresholds, which is the subsystem which is able to read these events from trends and take actions on them, which is part of the flow detection, or they can send it to another subsystem, EES, which is our event exporter. And this EES has access to many, many interfaces, including, I don't know, Amazon SQS, RabbitMQ, Kafka, whatever. So there are many interfaces out where you can make use of these trends. In terms of trends, it's an archiver for stat matrix. It queries on intervals the stat matrix, and it has some fine-tuning parameters like time to live, limits on the number of metrics archived. It can be also optionally stored into a database, which usually it's NoSQL like Redis to be again fast. And it computes the trend growth and trend label. I'll show you in an example so you understand easier. In terms of trends computation, the metric must be numbers. You can have correlation types like average or last. And it can be exported, as I showed you, towards another subsystem. This is configuration options, but I'll skip them too because we have some sample API data which you can use, you can understand better. So a trend profile is our configuration, and it contains the schedule, how often we will query the stats, the statistics. It contains what sort of statistics we'll query. Normally trends and statistics profile and statistics profile, they are one-to-one. So you can only configure here one stat ID. And you can filter what metrics you are archiving, because you might not want to archive all the metrics. Then you have a correlation type. In this case, is last. Since we have a queue of statistics, we need to make sure that we know what we correlate to. So it can be from the last statistics, so the last two statistics in the past, or it can be as an average between all of them. And then it can have a tolerance when issuing the label, and it can call the thresholds in order to have some detection mechanism for the fraud. This is an example of trend, how a trend looks like. Then you see it runs at points in time, and then it archives at each of these points in time, it archives some metrics. In this case, it did average call duration, it has a value, unknown trend growth, so minus one means unknown, and unknown trend label. And if we watch to the second trend run, we already see a trend growth. This means minus 48%. So the average call duration went down, and a positive, so a trend growth of 150% for the total call cost. So this, by sending this event to the thresholds, we can already make sense of them for the fraud, saying that if the trend label is negative, and trend for average call duration and trend label for total call cost is positive, something is wrong. They don't match up anymore. So to us, it says we have to either look on it or escalate or take actions. And just to see, I was not afraid about your shield. I finished. Thank you very much.